Be seated. I want to just jump right in real quick. Great teaching, Kyle. And I'm going to jump in from this morning. I'm going to extend myself. We were talking about Peter this morning. Those of you who might have been in kids' church or you might have been busy doing other kind of ministry. We're talking about Peter and how his character was so messed up, but yet Jesus called him. And even though he had a lot of imperfections, and even though his life was just, he looked good on the outside. He was a great professional fisherman, but man, when it came to character, this guy just didn't have it together. He was pretty messed up. But what's crazy is that Jesus called him to be the leader of the church. He kind of focused on him. He gathered all the disciples. He talked to all of them, but there was that one Peter. He said, I need to talk to you. He goes, you're the one. I'm going to call you. I'm changing your name to rock or a stone, and I want you to be so strong that when the church is established, you're going to take the world for Jesus. And something happened to Peter. It was a sense of confidence, obviously, but then also maybe his pride and then his lack of character and his ways about him, the imperfections that he had, it caused him to do some funky things, man. Some things were just like, man, just like you would think, Mike, why would you pick a guy like this? Why would you pick that? And sometimes I've seen that where the Lord has showed me certain people and God has, and people say, well, how come you would pick that guy right there? I remember years ago when we lost our home director in 1990, and Pastor Jerry had just, his name was Jerry, Jerry just came in the home. He was there 6 months, and I remember how there was these three guys, and all three of them, they all had some skills, and Jerry was real faithful, but he was real quiet and real simple and couldn't talk very eloquently. But yet, there was these other two guys. The other one had a plan how to raise finances to make sure the home was solid and financially. And the other one had this real deep spiritual, you know, plan and strategy. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I was saying, who do I pick to be the director? So I said, all you three are going to be a team, I said. All three are going to be a team. It's going to be like, you know, the Three Stooges. If you knew the guys, you'd say, wow, you're right on. But they were all three, so I didn't know who to pick. But then all of a sudden, I found myself somehow just looking at Jerry. Talking to these other two guys that had all the great words. They had all the great eloquent. They had plans, and they had this. But I had my mind like speaking to Jerry, and eventually, lo and behold, he became that great leader that he became, but he didn't have it together. He had a lot of flaws and a lot of, and I thoughtful when I was thinking about that when I was preparing for this, because Peter, the other disciples must have looked at Jesus and said, why would you look at him? This guy talks out of place. This guy talks more than he listens. He talks while he's listening. So how can he listen? And God gave us two ears and one mouth so we can listen twice as much as we speak. But this guy did the opposite. We look at Peter and we look at the call of God on him. And then Jesus, you know, he's been telling him, I'm going to the cross. I'm about to go the way of the cross. And you guys got to get it together, man. I've been with you 3.5 years, and you guys have watched me, and you've slept by me, and you've eaten with me, and we've prayed, and we've cried together, and we've healed together, and you've been right there. You've seen me do miracles, and oh, man, and now I got to do this. And that one thing that he does in the garden when he cuts the ear off, and he goes, and his whole motive is, I'm protecting my Lord. Remember earlier he said, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. And so here he's proving it now by standing in the place of the, and say, you're not going to take my Lord. And so they take him. Of course, all the disciples scurry off. And then they get him and they take him into the inner place, and they're going to interrogate him and to flog him and to punish him and to torture him. And Peter, still, even though he kind of ran away a little bit, he loved Jesus. So he gets close to him and he gets into the inner court there. And he's right in the middle. There's a fire in the middle. And the Bible says, and everybody's there. And there's a bunch of people there. And they're in there. They're taking him. And they begin to look at him. And they begin to tell him, Peter, they look at me. Hey, you look familiar, dude. You look like, I know who you are. Hey, you're one of those guys. You remember, they were famous, man. These guys became famous in the streets. They were famous out there because every time Jesus healed somebody blind, the woman with the issue of blood, wherever they were at, man, everybody was watching them. And so now Peter has become he has a little bit of street fame, man. He's been with Jesus walking in the streets and seeing the healings and the multitudes, the time the 5,000 were fed, the time the 4,000 were fed, and all these things. They know who he is. And one of them says, hey, you're one of those that were with Jesus. You're one of the homeboys. You're one of his disciples. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. 3 times Jesus prophesied to him that he would deny him. And he said, no, I'll never do that. I'll die for you. And he was talking so big. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that comes to pass where he denies him. He denies him. Finally, he denies that he even knows him. He even goes to the point to speak and cuss. Imagine, he goes from protecting and willing to pull a knife out and cut the guards to I don't even know who this guy is in just a short time. Fear, possibly not wanting to associate himself and be in the same kind of prison he's going to be in. So out of whatever thing, but he's afraid, and we see that he fails miserably. He doesn't pass the test. And he goes from that to this. In Luke chapter 22, if you'll take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke. El libro de Lucas. Chapter 22, verse 54 reads, then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled, see, the Bible says he was following at a distance. One of the things we cannot do is follow God at a distance. We've got to follow God close. That's why these basic things, you might say, oh my God, I've been around the church for a long time. I already know I got to pray. I already got to know I read my Bible. I know I got to do these things. Yeah, but are you? The Bible says he followed Jesus from a distance. If you know anything about Peter, Peter was always right there with Jesus. He was even right there when it was just him. Remember, it was just a few. Every time he took just 2 or 3 of them, it was Peter that was with him. That means he was real close to him. He was, where was everybody else in the garden? When they came for him, where was he at? He was right there defending Jesus. He was always close. But this time, out of nowhere, the Bible says right here, he followed him at a distance. You know how many Christians, how many believers follow God at a distance, and as soon as trouble comes, they run to try to get close? Try to catch up, play catch up? I've been there. I've done that. I know what it means to do that. But here he's following at a distance, and the Bible, then he begins to talk about the fire that was in the middle and talk about everything I already talked about. And I want, because of time, I want to just say that he denied him. The woman, he told the woman, I don't even know him. He says, you're one of them. No, I'm not, he said. Man, I am not one of them. And they said, certainly this man was with them. He's a Galilean. Peter says, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed. Have you ever had the revelation come upon you like that? Said, man, pastor told me. Or you know what, man, my Bible said, my director told me this would happen. I've had that where Pastor Sonny told me that exactly thing would happen. And I didn't listen to him, Barb. She goes, do you need to listen to your pastor? I said, he told us both. Think about our despair. I want you to think about his condition. I want to think about Peter's condition, but how he must have been feeling after this. I know we're, Peter, man, he denied Christ, man. What kind of guy is that guy? He's a fail and, you know, loser, man, you know, you're supposed to be with Jesus. And no, I want you to think about how he felt. He must have went and hid and felt like that. Sorry. Backwards. And he must have felt like so depressed. You know, he was probably trying to get some Xanax or something like that. Had a broken spirit. Everything that had been talking about, he was going to be the guy, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my house. And Jesus was talking big about him, probably talking to people. This is Peter right here. This is my boy right here. This is my spiritual son right here. And then now he's just totally blown it. And there he is, man, just depressed, man, failure, everything's, he's feeling every kind of emotion of failure there can be. But then something happens. Something happens, man. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. The guys are totally, they take off. They go back to fishing. They go back to say, you know what? I guess maybe it wasn't true. Maybe this was just a false hope. Maybe everything we saw was just a figment of our imagination. Something just didn't happen right. And we're going to go back to the way our lives were. You know how many people sometimes, whenever, man, they're serving the Lord and a big old trial comes or somebody hurts them or something happens, and it seems like so many people just run back right back to where they used to be at, and they find themselves in the same house doing the same things with the same kind of people that used to tear them down, instead of just waiting it out for a little bit longer, just pressing through and getting through the trial and going through it and getting some prayer, getting a hold of God. And what happens is we see Peter, he went back to what he knew how to do. He went back and he got his nets again. He had left his nets. He went back for his nets. But then something happens. You heard about he wasn't at the crucifixion. John was. He wasn't there. There were the ladies there, and John, behold, your mother. Then they bury him. Once they put you in the ground, come on, somebody. Once they lowered the casket, that's like it. You're not, you know, that's done. It's just a place where we're going to go and put flowers and love you. And right? That's what Peter's mind is saying. I'm gone fishing, man. They put him in the ground. They put him in the tomb. They sealed the tomb, too. So nobody can even get near there. So it's over. He walks off sadly. He said, first of all, I failed. I failed him, but he's dead anyway, so what's the use? And he goes right back. Sometimes people think God is dead, but God's not dead. He's certainly alive. And so then all of a sudden they bury him, and Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they go to the tomb. They're in Mark chapter 16. They go to the tomb, and they see in the tomb that Jesus has risen from the dead. The angel of the Lord tells them in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 5 through 10 says, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? Go tell the disciples. Listen to this. I want you to get this. Go tell the disciples and make sure you tell Peter. Some versions say that. Some say, and Peter. Some say, you know, include Peter. And they don't say, tell Matthew. Tell Bartholomew. Tell this guy. Tell Andrew. They say, tell Peter that Jesus is alive. Remind him. Rekindle him. Let him know that it's not over. It may look over. He may have failed. Things may have looked like it's all over, but it's not over. They said, go tell Peter that he is going to you at Galilee, and there you'll see him, just as he told you. Verse 8 says, and they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Notice what the angel of the Lord says. Tell the disciples he's alive. That he died, but he rose from the dead. That yeah, they put him in the ground, but he's not in the ground no more. The power of Almighty God has raised him from the dead. And he's about to help you rise up too. Because Peter's like dead. Peter's already died in his spirit. He's overcome by despair, by depression. He's been dictated by his circumstances. And now all of a sudden there's an ounce of hope that just, boom, just hits, and Mary Magdalene and John's mama Mary and Salome, they run to the disciples and they say, hey, Jesus is not in the tomb no more. And where's Peter? They said, Peter's fishing. You're going to have to go talk to Peter because he's fishing. See, there he goes back. In John 21, it gives the account of Peter going back to fishing. Jesus has to come to him. Like I said earlier, remember Jesus came and found Peter and Andrew when they first this morning? Now he comes to him. He says, hey, you guys got something to eat? Can you imagine? And then Jesus tells him, you got something to eat? Give me something. And he said, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught nothing. He says, what does he say? Cast your nets on the right side. This version doesn't talk about the flawed character of Peter so much. John happens to be very, he must like Peter a lot. Because he doesn't really dog him a lot. Now the other guys, you know, they expose it. When you read the other account, it's like, we already threw it all out night. We threw it. We know what we're doing. You know how some of you can be. We know what we're doing. And we fished all night. I'm a professional fisherman and I fished all night. Throw it on the right side, dude. So he does. He throws it on the right side. And what happens on this account, that doesn't say it's 153 fish. It's just a multitude of fish. So then John just tells him, all of a sudden John gets the revelation. Now remember, these guys right here were not with the other group of disciples. So they hadn't really seen like this yet. And all of a sudden John, the light turns on. The light turns on. He says, it's our Lord. And you know what Peter does? Peter just says, come on, brother. He's dead. He's in the tomb. He's dead. Come on. Don't believe those things, what they're saying. He died, dude. We know he's dead. There's a death certificate. He's got a tomb. You know, there's a signet ring on there. There's a seal there. There's no way he could be out of that tomb. He doesn't say that. You know what he does? The Bible says that immediately he jumps out of the boat and begins to... Have you ever tried to run in water or the ocean? Bible says he takes his garments off and he jumps in and he runs to Jesus. Why? Because there's something about Jesus, even when you've blown it, even when you've messed up, that when he shows up looking for you, that you know what? His arms are wide open. They're always wide open, no matter what you've done. And look what he does. Peter, Jesus has to get through this thick head of Peter and he has to use the very thing that he knows the best to flip his mind. The thing that Peter, nobody else is a better fisherman than Peter. His father, his grandfather, nobody else. And so Jesus has to use fishing to change his mentality. He has to use the very thing that he has control over, the thing that he went back to change his life. Think about that. And then Jesus makes him some breakfast. All right, give me some of that stuff. He cooks it up. At least Jesus, he can do whatever he wants. He's better than all them cooks you guys see on TV and all those ones. I don't know, all the famous cooks. You just flipping up the fish and the St. Peter's fish. That's what they call it. They actually call it St. Peter's fish now. We've eaten it, right, Bart? We're going to eat it again, Lord willing. Some of my greatest discipleship sessions have been over breakfast. Recently at Loyola's. Some of you are smiling because you know we've sat there and had discipleships. It's breakfast is a very intimate time. I don't know if you realize breakfast is you've woken up, you've been alone. The only time you're alone in your whole life with nobody else is you. That's it. You're asleep. You wake up and maybe if you have a spouse or you're living in the home, you have a bunch of brothers and a bunch of sisters, you know, but it's still an intimate time. It's the first part of your day. When you eat breakfast, when you share breakfast with somebody, look what Jesus, I want you to look at the revelation. Look at what Jesus does. He doesn't just show up at dinner time when the day's already been full of all kinds. He shows up early in the morning and he says, let's have breakfast together. I got to talk to you. I got to let you know that I still got you. I'm going to let you know. I want to have breakfast with you to look you in the eyes and say, Peter, you are still the rock. Oh, you may have looked ugly a while back, but you're still my rock. You're still my boy. You're still my spiritual son. You're still in.
Come to the keyboard if you would. Jesus begins to speak into Peter's life, and he gives him the "Do you love me?" speech. You love me? Of course I love you. Feed my lambs. Well, do you love me? Come on, Jesus. Yeah, you know I love you. Feed the sheep. Feed them. He says, this is the church. The church's job is to feed the sheep, to equip the sheep, to love the sheep. Then do your job. And quit playing around. Quit messing around. Quit thinking you know everything. Quit acting like you know more than your leader. Quit acting like you know more than your brothers and sisters. And start locking arms with your brothers and sisters. Start, don't argue with John or Matthew or don't none of these guys. You need to lock arms with them. I want to build an army, he says. I want to build an army. I'm paraphrasing, but I want to build an army so we can reach the world. See, Peter is finally humbled. You won't really ever experience the greatest usage of your potential until the day you realize that you had to humble yourself. He's finally at the place that he knew Jesus could be. Not long after that, God had given them instructions. I want you to go up to this particular place and wait. And the Holy Spirit's going to fall. And when it does, all things are going to be different. You see, he had been through the school of the Holy Ghost. But now the Holy Ghost was going to infiltrate him. Was going to fill him. And was going to begin to come out through him. Not long after that, the Bible says they were all in one place, about 120. I've been in that very place, the place of the, where the 120, the upper, it's called the upper room. They're in Jerusalem. I'll never forget, huh, Barb? That night we went, that day we went there with Pastor Sonny, and Pastor Rick, Sister Julie, a bunch of some of the elders there. We were all there together. Pastor Augie, I remember, and a bunch of us. Pastor Al Rodriguez, and just a bunch of us there. Tim, and Arnzoni, and Sonny. Before they were young, they weren't married. We're just all there, and I remember we were just there praying, and then we began to sing, hallelujah. And then a group from Korea started doing it. And then another group from Russia. Christians from different languages. And all of a sudden, we were doing hallelujah, and all of a sudden everybody started speaking in tongues. People started praying in their own language, like, Father, in the name of Jesus, but you know, whatever way Russia speaks and Korea. And all of a sudden, we experienced a little glimpse of what must have happened on that day. And I never forget, it was just so powerful. And it was so heavy. And I thought, that's what happened with these guys. The Spirit of God fell on them, and Peter was broken. He says, man, I've been operating in the flesh. I just do whatever I feel instead of thinking about it. Instead of weighing it out. And that's what God's looking for us in this hour. He's looking for Christians that are going to quit living out of just responding and start thinking about things. I was tested very heavily the other day by somebody. Somebody confronted one of my family members, and I happened to be there. And it was a bad thing. It was a horrible, horrible thing. And usually when somebody's like combative or threatening or maybe like wanting to hurt my family or try to even hurt me, there's usually the thing that I used to get when I was young. I knew when I was about to drill somebody, is my arms begin to like have this like electricity, and then and it's on. And I thought to myself, I'm there and I'm waiting to see if they're going to swing. And I'm here, honestly, I'm right here. I'm ready for the swing. I'm ready for the, you know, whatever. And I don't know, there was just, I didn't feel it in my arms. And I just felt the Spirit of peace. As you cut it out, stop, leave right now. And I thought to myself, that has to be the Holy Spirit, because my spirit would have said, strike. Strike now before they strike. Move now. They're trying to hurt your family. Peter finally understood that his reaction to everything couldn't be immediate. It had to be under the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God falls. He begins to testify to all the people. Everybody that, hey, think about it, the people that
told them, you're one of them. We're in that crowd. And there's Peter saying, you crucified him. And you put him to death. But he loves you. Repent of your sins. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. But on that day, 3,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord. His first message he ever preached. I tell you right now, you want to be used mightily of God, you got to get rid of the junk, the flaws, all those things, all that stuff we talked about, the impulsiveness and the things that we do. God wants to use you. Some of you are going to take cities. Some of you are going to help us build this army and this church, and we're going to see the greatness of God. And if there was ever a time to rise up, God gave us the word rise up in January. He said, rise up. Peter's faith rose up because it was time. Peter often stumbled, guys. You guys can just come straight up, guys. Just come straight up. You guys can come straight up. He never failed to follow him. The Bible says he followed him from a distance, but he still followed him. If you've been following God from a distance, it's time to get up close. If you've been close, but you're frustrated, it's time to stay close. Don't deny the Lord. You see, Peter may have blown it. But when Peter met Jesus, he was never going to be the same again. He may have tried to go back to fishing. But when he met him, he became a new person. Something happened to him. I don't care how bad your situation might be, it's not worth going back to fishing in this flesh. God has called us to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. Bow your heads with me all over this place. I believe with all my heart that this life flow for these next months are going to take us into a place of being so close to the Lord that we will not have the luxury of running from him or stepping out or denying him because of the closeness that we have with him. I want to encourage you today that you stay close to the Lord, that you don't question the Lord, that you follow. I love what Kyle said. I grew up in the same school that he grew up in, the Holy Ghost, that nobody had to tell me so much. You had to, even though they did, and I followed. I was in church on Friday, on Sunday, on Sunday night, and whenever the doors opened, whenever Bible study, whenever we were at a car wash, whenever we were at the jail, or whenever we were in a rally or whatever, I was just there. And there's just too many people in our church that don't. If they got that, we would build an army that would be able to take our city. And there's just sometimes the Marines, many of you that are here tonight. And I just pray that this spirit would begin to jump on the rest of the church, and that we build the army that God has promised that he's going to build here. Oh, I'm not perfect. I know our leaders are not perfect, but we're following Jesus. And I'm going to ask you this evening, if you want to make a fresh commitment to follow the Lord closely, Peter made a comeback. Maybe you need a comeback tonight. Or maybe you know you're doing good, but you realize that right now that there's some areas of your life that need some adjusting. Some of you need to rip out some stuff, and some of you just need a little adjustment, just a minor adjustment, just a little adjustment, and you'll see what God does. I'm going to open up, so I'm going to ask him to sing this song, and I'm going to open up this altar for you to come and just find a place at this altar and just begin to say, Lord, I love you, Jesus, from all over this place. Come. Let it fall upon me. Here I am. Use me. I pray. Here I am. I'm ready and I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. Oh. Let your anointing. Let it fall upon me. Oh, Lord, I pray.